Good morning, all. It's good to see some that have been out for a while, and definitely some visitors we have here, and it's good to see all of you folks that have come to be a part. And we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, as you can see, Proverbs 22, and we want to do 22 to 23 today. And we're looking at wise sayings, and this is the first one of the batch. Even though it's called saying number two, at least it is in my Bible labeled as saying number two. But I guess that means that the verses 17 through 21, which are kind of introductory we looked at last week, are really saying number one, wise saying number one. And if that's the case, then last week's wise saying was, hey, pay attention to these wise sayings. Turn your ear to the sayings of the wise and apply your heart. Because if you do, it would be really wise if you do, it will be very pleasing to you in your life. And that's the whole point. We're looking at these things somewhat academically, but really personally. What is it that the wise people are telling me, these wise sayings, about how I ought to conduct my life? Because if I were to do these things, and we will, what's it going to do for me? Well, it's going to really lift you up. It's going to please your life, and it's going to make things good for you. It's going to cause you to put your trust in the Lord. And as we said last week, the you says so many times the word you, even you in verse 19. Not just someone else, but even you. You know, and I take that personally. You know, hey, Ron, this is for people to trust in God and for people to be taught today. Ron, even you, you know, so it's good for me. So apply these things to yourself. I hope when you went home last week that you really did go through some of these. Try to put some sort of line on it that that really defines what that wise saying says. For example, our first one, which is saying number two here, verses 22 and 23, would be summed up, I think, by this line. This is mine, so you could come up with something different, but something that's going to have to be similar because, you know, it's what it says. Don't take unfair advantage. Now, it doesn't say don't take advantage, because there are times when taking advantage is a good thing. Am I right about that? Somebody says to you, hey, listen, if you want to go with us, we're going to be going over to this wonderful place and we're going to eat some great food and we're going to hit the beach. It's going to just be a blast and you're welcome. You're invited. And you're thinking, hey, why not? You know? And so you take advantage of it. There's something great about taking advantage of doing things, doing something that's going to be good for you. We have advantages that are things we can't help. We have advantages, for example, from the family that we came from. Perhaps it could be a disadvantage, but let's hope it's an advantage. Our families can be advantageous to us. We know people who got success in life, moved into some position of great responsibility and success, partly because their family, you know, and they had a little bit of help from their family. I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that. I don't think the Bible would teach us anywhere that it's wrong to have a little bit of a leg up whenever it happens to us. It could be that we have connections. It could be our education. We got in this church over the years, how many university students have we seen, and how good it is for them to get that education, because it gives them an advantage in life and they're able to go out and at least get a job, but get a good job where they can pay and make care of their living and not have to be taken care of by someone else. Some of us are born, all of us, let's hope, but are born with a level of education, but also of just simply intelligence, you know. You know, sometimes you see people and you think, boy, that person's really smart. And it generally helps them in their life to be able to do whatever it is they want to do. Sometimes appearance, somebody who is tall and, you know, well-proportioned and stuff, get a little bit more advantage over other people. Now, I'm not sure that's taking unfair advantage. I don't think it is. It's just simply taking advantage. And the Bible is, surely God's not against that. And so that's not what he's talking about. He actually uses the word, verse 22, to exploit. Don't exploit the poor because they are poor. And don't crush the needy in court. For the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. You know, you're going to pay for this if you do it. And so it's got to be pretty serious. So this wise saying is said, when it comes to taking advantage, we're talking about unfair advantage. Don't be unfair. Don't exploit people. By the way, there's nothing also wrong with exploits. We talk about the daring exploit of some adventurer, and that's a good thing. Wouldn't you like to get out and do some daring exploits? I would, you know. It'd be fun to go out and climb a mountain somewhere. I mean, I don't think I could do it now, but it would be kind of nice to, if I could, you know, to get out and see these wonderful things and to do some daring, especially being daring, you know, daring exploit, you know, or having some kind of adventure that you just, you know, you're just exploiting in life. There's nothing wrong with that again. But it's this here context. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. And so that's why I think the title that maybe you wrote down when you went home for this one is Don't Take Unfair Advantage of Other People. That's a great thing. If you don't do anything else today when you go home, that's what I want you to remember and think about. It's here this wise saying is say don't do it. And hopefully we're not doing it, you know, but sometimes, you know, sometimes we see it happening and sometimes we unintentionally do it. I think the hottest place in hell belongs to the person who cuts in line at grocery stores. I mean, that gets under my collar, you know. Does that not you? Oh, come on. You know, they open another cash register. You're five back, and there's five guys behind you, men and women behind you, and all of a sudden they open the register right to the next. Who gets it first? The guy on the back. He sees it going on and runs over there and gets in line. That's why the best grocery store on earth is in California, Raley's. Because in Raley's, anytime they open the cash, a new cash register, the register, registrar, I guess, her responsibility or his responsibility was to say, I'll take the next person in line. This register is now open. And I've seen when somebody's cut lines and gone over there, she said to him, you know, you go back to the back of the line. This guy gets it. You just want to stand there and applaud, you know, God bless this person. Because that's exploiting, and it's not a good kind of thing. And so cutting is exploiting. But there's more that we'll talk about. Whoever, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 5, whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor, so much to say, are to be condemned. What God actually does is he takes, gets those profits and eventually within someone else gives them to other people. And so God is involved in making sure it happens. And that's really the message behind the message. What I really want you to see is don't take an unfair advantage, because God is concerned about people who are taken advantage of. That's why he says, for the Lord will take up their case. Whose case? The case of those who have been exploited. God doesn't like exploiting any more than you and I do. And he wants people to be treated fairly. And that's just the nature of God. That's the message behind it. James chapter 1 tells us in verse 27 that we are to take care of the fatherless and the widow, to just show us that God is concerned for the fatherless. Those are the ones who are at a disadvantage in life. They're orphans. Who's going to help them? And what happens sometimes is people exploit that. And we could tell stories. You probably know stories of people who have, or maybe not directly, but you've heard in and out in culture and not social. Sometimes people like that are mistreated. Do you know some people take on orphans into their home because they like the paycheck that comes in for those orphans? And they don't really do much for that person, those people, and sometimes they exploit them. Sometimes they almost starve them to death and mistreat them because they get that paycheck, you know. That's an example of exploiting people. And God says you need to take care of, you need to be mindful of, you need to not take advantage of those who are orphans or widows. Again, they have no power. And that's, again, the thing. Notice the text again. Don't exploit the poor because they are poor. I mean, imagine, how many stories could we rifle through that we've heard before about some big corporation, you know, and you want to take them to court because something that happened to you that they've wronged you. But what's the saying we always say? Boy, they could just stack up all kinds of lawyers, you know. They got the best, highest paid and bunch of lawyers, and they can just keep this thing in court and you'll lose your money anyway, so what's the use? That's an example of exploitation and our awareness of it because we don't have the power to right what's wrong to us. I want to read a scripture, if you don't mind. Maybe it's not very far from Proverbs. If you have your Bible, open at Proverbs to turn over to Psalm 72. This is a surprising psalm. Not really, but I mean surprising in the sense that so much to read in the Bible, you know. And if you haven't got to Psalm 72 in a while, then you run across it and it opens your eyes on this is Jesus that's being talked about. This is a psalm of Solomon. It's most likely the last of Solomon's psalms. And he has to say some things about somebody who is surely the Messiah. It is the end of book two, by the way, which is kept for the last. And so Solomon's going to say some things about God, but about the Messiah. And he's going to say something about fairness and what's important. Let's just read it. And just note this. Here we have over in Proverbs telling us don't do this. And here's a text that gives us something about God. Endow the king, again, that's Jesus, with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. You might read in there, the exploiter. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound until the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. Tell me that's not Jesus. It is. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. I love that passage right there. This is why God takes up the cause of the poor over in our Proverbs passage. Why it is that when God sees the poor being afflicted and exploited, that God steps in to help them, and partly by punishing. In fact, you could outline Psalm Proverbs 22, verses 22 and 23. As the first, we look at the sin of exploiting and then who's hurt by it and the hurt that comes from it, but then also the price that will be paid. And that's the passage here, God taking care of, having pity on. You remember when Jesus looked out upon the people and he saw that they were sheep without a shepherd? Remember that in the gospel account? And what does the Bible say? He had compassion on them. He saw that they had no leadership, that they were helpless, and his heart went out to them. That's God. That's why this is such a wise saying. We aren't to do what the people in the world might do and exploit people, take unfair advantage over other people, because that's not what God would do. God's on the other side of that, and we need to be on the other side of that with God. So verse 14, he will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills, may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. And then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. And the psalm ends in just a few more verses after that. But let's go back to Proverbs. That was a psalm that talks about Jesus and Jesus' heart, and also God's heart. And this is what God is like. God cares for the ones who are being afflicted. And that's all of us. Who are we being afflicted by? Satan. By wickedness. By evil. He's the one that brought sin into the world with the temptation of Adam and Eve. He's also the one that brought death. He is the father of lies, but he's also the murderer from the beginning. And that's who is exploiting us all the time. And Jesus Christ, of course, has stepped in to help us and to bring our cause up and, of course, take care of what's behind. So that's Psalm 72. But then Jesus was asked, this is Luke 10. Turn there, if you don't mind, another scripture reading, a good one, one that you're really familiar with. It's the Good Samaritan, but what's behind it begins in verse 25, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Didn't really care whether Jesus is going to give the answer or not. He's just trying to trick him up. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what's written in the law? He replies, how do you read it? Jesus is the one that asked that question. Verse 27, the man's answer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Which sums up, really, what's being told here about not taking advantage of others. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you want to be like God, but you also love others better than yourselves. That's Philippians chapter 2. To see the needs of others ahead of yourself, you're going to be okay. And that's what this passage is saying. But again, the scripture says in verse 29, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Ah, got you there. And Jesus replied and said, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Underline that in your mind. He took pity on him. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. That's that little story that we're all familiar with. But then he asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? And of course, the expert of the law said, well, the one who had mercy on him. He had pity, and pity is seeing something, seeing a person and feeling sorrow for them, feeling that compassion. But then it's mercy. It's acting upon that pity that you have. We see sometimes others around us that may be being exploited, and our heart may go out to them, but the next step would be do anything we can to have mercy on those people. And of course, Proverbs 22 and 23 are really, of course, about ourselves not making the exploitation, but the latter part of it is how God sees it and how God deals with it. And we ought to be on God's side about that, have this same attitude, and we ought to be that good Samaritan when it comes to other people. I think I told you the story maybe once or twice over the few years we've been here about Jeremy and Jeremy Jones. How many remember the story about Jeremy Germs? Okay, it's been long enough so I can tell it again. Yeah, all right. It's kind of like telling jokes, you know, you don't tell the joke and see, do you know that joke? Okay, let me tell it again. No, anyway, Jeremy Germs. When we lived in Big Sandy, a little country town over in East Texas, good people there and all, but one of the grandchildren of one of our members, man and woman, their grandmother and grandfather, had a little grandson that had some mental problems. You know, he was young, but he had some emotional problems. And so he really acted up at school. And all the kids began to just pretty much ostracize him. And in fact, they made up this thing that you can't touch Jeremy, because Jeremy has got Jeremy germs. And so this little Jeremy, who did nothing to deserve that, who was helpless to do anything about it, who had absolute disadvantage with his classmates, had to live with the idea that all the kids around him thought he had germs and to stay away from him. Would it not have been good for one of the classmates to finally take up for him? Wouldn't it? And to maybe become a friend of little Jeremy. I think he was only like 7 or 8 years old. And to be his friend, stand up for him. That's what the scripture is calling us to do here. Not just don't do this, but be like God. Take pity on someone. Have mercy. Show mercy. I had that happen to one of my grandsons. He's in elementary school, and not now, he's high school. He's a senior this year. He's a wonderful guy now. He's doing good. But he's been dyslexic all of his life. And so in elementary school, he couldn't read. And so the kids started making fun of him. Kind of another Jeremy Germs story. Except somebody in class actually took up for him and became his friend. And the whole class turned and actually became friends of my little grandson. So I've even experienced it. You've probably experienced it. You know there are times when people are mistreated and everybody tends to gang up on them. Like the little mousy girl at work. She's the wallflower, you know. She's the one that's just such an introvert that everybody tends to just kind of ignore her. Well, what should we do if we're in that situation? We should be the one who steps out and becomes her friend and invites her along. And that's showing that compassion that God shows for people that have, that need help in some way. That we shouldn't just simply not do these things. It's that we should also have that mercy and that love. And that's what the wise saying really is all about. It's not just a rule for us to follow. It's a heart for us to have, to be like God and to see people for where they are and to realize there may be somebody who's being ignored by everybody else or mistreated in some way. And of course, we're not going to do that. We know better than to mistreat somebody like that. But let's go the next step and be like God and try to lift them up. You know, like, again, the orphan and the widow in their misery. That's what does it say in that passage in James? Perfect religion. Not just anything else, but this is perfect religion. It's to look after those people who are the helpless. And that's what this is all about. That's so wise for us to do everything we can to help them. I think that's the message behind the message. And if God is good enough to do this and we want to be the people of God, then we want to do it as well. We want to be like God. It's wise to do what God does and to be like God. And the beginning of being like God is to have that kind of compassion and that selflessness, you know, that we follow after God. And we see people around us that we need to give attention to. That's the Philippians 2 passage that we kind of skimmed over a while back. It says that each person ought to do for others and see the needs of others before we see our own, and to not be selfish about those kinds of things. And we could go on and on about that, but I won't do that. We'll stop at that. But there's our one wise saying, saying number two, and we won't do all 30 as I promised. We'll come and look at some others as we go along, but maybe insert some other messages in between. But these are really good for us, and I hope that this first one helps us out. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll have a song to sing and invite you to come if you have a need. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the kind of God that we have. Lord, you could have been an ogre. You could have, with all the power and all the absolutism that you have, you could have been an absolute terror. But instead, you're a lover, and that you care for us. You care for even the smallest among us, even the most helpless among us. In fact, it seems like your heart is really there, that you look to the helpless first and you reach out to help them. That's why your son died on the cross, Lord, and it was for all of us, because we were all lost and at the mercy of Satan and sin and destruction forever. But you saved us through Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to reach out and help other people and show that same kind of love and mercy and compassion on them, to be the kind of people you want us to be, not to hurt other people, but also when we see hurting people, that we help them. Bless us now as we go on to our homes. We pray this will be a great week for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.